Lord. Trust in His mind, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heavens will reign,
Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb.
Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Sing to the Victor of Calvary.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Out of the sun,
Jesus has won.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Son of Jehovah, yes, Son of Man, conquering Lion, yes, suffering Lamb.
Worship, worship,
come, let us worship the Lord forever.
Worship, worship,
come, let us worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Ask you, if you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Russell Goodman will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and everyone is invited to participate in that service. At 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be leading the continuing study of church history. Today's study will include social reform in the church in the early 1800s. And at 4 p.m., Pastor Otero will continue the class titled, What Say the Scriptures? And we'll be discussing the word ability as a key word in the scriptures. Our 5 p.m. service today, our guest speaker will be Greg Tomlinson, and who will be speaking on the role of wives in marriage from a biblical perspective. On Wednesday at 6 p.m., our sister Helen Menig will continue leading the class on healthful nutrition, followed by our Wednesday evening prayer service at 7:30. We will be viewing and discussing Dr. R.C. Sproul's lecture series, and this one will be titled Salvation Guaranteed. After that, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services are being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band, and also live worldwide on the internet at our website at www.bethelmorganhill.org. Our 5 p.m. Sunday services are broadcast live now on the internet as well, and beginning in October, our Wednesday evening service will be broadcast live on the internet. Announcement here, because we will celebrate our 21st anniversary on October 5th, the Fellowship Luncheon, which is normally held on the last Sunday of the month, which would be September 28th, will be canceled. We'll be enjoying our feast on the following Sunday during our celebration. Final note, while Pastor and Mrs. Otero are on vacation, that great friend of our church, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, will be preaching the next two Sundays. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 107, verse 8. It reads, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship now with hymn number 27, "I Sing the Mighty Power of God." Let's continue our worship now with hymn number 178, "The Bible Stands." Will you please stand as we sing hymn number 257, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Thank you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise your name because of your faithfulness to your people everywhere in the world. As public service in our community and the country, we are reminded in the scripture to pray for our president, and so we pray that you give him the wisdom to know and to do what is right. And Father, we pray that you give him the courage to say no to all that is contrary to your statutes of the holy law. Lord, in an increasingly complex and dangerous world, we need to drop to our knees and acknowledge our dependency on our mighty God and ask him to reveal his will, just as King David did so long ago. It is an honor to have missionaries around the world, and we pray for your mercy and encouragement and power upon each one of them. We plead for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benal Madena, Spain, Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, the Athletic Sport Association of San Jose, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, Martha Peretti in Argentina in the Rehabilitation Center, Daniel Lacey with the Motorsport Ministries, and Giovanni Andagno in Guatemala, Dave Rode in Papua New Guinea. Father, assist those who are sick among our mess. We pray for Loretta Forrest and her strength on her legs to recover, for Bevy Tarp and your care upon her life, for Jorge Peretti with a heart condition, for Fred Vitola. Father, we are just so thrilled to know that you work miracles again and he's home. The surgery worked out in an amazing way and he's home today. Thank you, Father. We pray for Nebuchadnezzar, Spain, that she go through all the things that need to be done to be sure that nothing happened in her body. We pray for those in vacation, and we remember our brother Jack Kasanjian and his valuable work among ourselves here in church. And we pray your blessings as he plans to return to us this week. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done as we together here in our auditorium and there over the airwaves of KKMC Radio and in the internet tape ministry and CD ministry fellowship with the extended church family as one in Christ Jesus. Lord, you speak when I will be teaching, and let me go out of the way so that thy word and thy truth exclusively may be heard, received, understood, and by thy spirit apply into our lifestyles. And now, once again, we magnify your name because of your provision and care for the ministry of the gospel at Bethel Baptist Church. So, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver. Bless those who do not understand the gospel so that they too can be a part of the great church of the living God. In our beloved Savior's name, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 621. We will be reading John chapter 1, verses 36 through 41. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 36 through 41. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you in prayer and worship because of the person and work of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, for our believing all that has been written about the Lord Jesus in the Bible. We thank you for setting us free as we too have become disciples of Jesus and abide in his word, and we follow him. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of faith and rescuing us from judgment and condemnation. Our Father, we pray now for your servant, our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for his study of the scriptures and his teaching, that we may behold the beauty of the Lord Jesus as pastor comes to preach. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and internet who have not come to believe you, but rather believe those who suppress the truth, that they may come to believe the truth this day and know the joy of your salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And just for those who are come in the afternoon in our 4 o'clock class, we're going to start doing something is not published yet. Everybody have concordance, but I would like to start with you a topical concordance, and you tell me words you want to know, and we apply that word as the Bible is. We're going to talk this afternoon about ability. Is your ability, is the ability of God that we require to have ability to do things. So we will see whether there is a note here, and there is no limit age of the classes for everybody, and then we discuss and talk, and I put the verse on. This is at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Our scripture that our brother read for us today reveals a powerful truth. Look again, John Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 41. And it is amazing. The Bible said that he, Andrew, findeth his own brother Simon. Andrew find Peter. Now, these are Jewish people. Workers, yes. You will classify them today as workmen. They have their own company. They were a fishing enterprise. So they're not stupid. They were workmen. They are no class either. They were very, very smart. And Andrew called Simon. And look at what he says. Look at what he says. He said, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And I want to read a little bit in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, if you like math, and I know you young people like math, you can say that when you read these three verses, As soon as an engineer read it, he tried to make an equation. And so here's the equation. Messiah, that's a Hebrew word, equals Christ, that's a Greek word, equal Jesus. Is that hard to understand? No. Let me read it again. We found the Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one, the one that has been selected to rescue Israel. We have found the Messiah, which is the Christ, because he was talking among Greek people, and the language at that moment was Greek. So Christ, Christos, means the same thing, the Messiah, the anointed one. We have found the Messiah equals, whatever you call it today, Christ. And now I'm going to put a picture on it. What did he say in verse 42? And he brought him to Jesus. Wow. I wonder why Andrew was so excited to show the Messiah. Well, you have to know, if you go in your Bible to Daniel chapter 9, page 525, Daniel chapter 9 is in page 525. In Daniel chapter 9, and in verse 25, that is the place you find, the only place in the Old Testament you find the Hebrew word is spelled Messiah as a prophetic announcement. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And God is revealing to Daniel, and we're going to study about this on God's willing the coming year when we study Revelation. Daniel is a book that is the groundwork of Revelation. Look at it in chapter 9, verse 25. He said, "Know therefore," God talking to Daniel, "and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks." And so Israel knew that they have a prophecy that the Messiah will come. There was a messianic prophecy, the Messiah will come. Now, I want you to look in Micah, in Micah chapter 5, please. In Micah in chapter 5, because there you're going to find in verse 2, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Let's see if I have the page for you. I know I don't have the page, but you find it there in your Bible as you go through, as I'm doing right here in the pulpit. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, you find again the implication that the Messiah is going to be actually revealed. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. This is what the Bible says. "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah." Now, the reason Ephratah is because there were two Bethlehem in the Bible, and the Bible selection, they mention one, Bethlehem Ephratah. "Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," it was a little city, "yet out of thee shall he come forth." He is a reference to the Messiah. "And to me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going for have been from all, from everlasting." So the Jewish people in the time of Jesus, they were familiar to the idea that the Messiah will come. They even have the revelation that the Messiah will come from Bethlehem Ephrata. Now, John Gospel revealed the conversation between Andrew and Peter, and he has the audacity to say, the Messiah, the Christos. I like the scripture. Well, the scripture wanted to be clear, so that no Greek and no Jew make a mistake about it. When he said Messiah, all the Hebrew people understood. When he said Christo, everybody understood, because Koine Greek was then like English is today in the world, and Arabic is in Palestine, all right? If you go to Africa, if you go to southern Spain, You have to speak Arabic because that's the language that goes around, all right? So English and Arabic are the international language. And so Koine Greek was the international language that will reach the, Europe. And so Andrew said the Messiah to the Jewish people and Christos to the Greek, Jesus. A tremendous revelation. Now, you know they believe it. Now, how can you and I believe it? How can you and I come to the conclusion that this Jesus of Nazareth, who Nathaniel said, is anything good coming from Nazareth, remember? Is anything good from that town? Like somebody said, he's a great preacher from Morgan Hill. Is anything good from Morgan Hill? You know, something like that. How can that be true? How can that be true? Well, there's only one answer. If you turn your Bible to Romans 4, in verse 3, page 663, Paul was questioned about Abraham's salvation. And the question was, how Abraham was saved? Was saved on his own works or what? And then that question was placed to the Apostle Paul, who was a philosopher. And look at the answer in chapter 4 and in verse 3. He said, what does the scripture say? You see that? Paul can answer on the top of his head. He can give a remarkable explanation and a marvelous interpretation of Abraham's life and Jesus. But he said, what says the scripture? Another time, Paul was confronted by a bunch of teachers, false teachers. They said, yes, you can be a Christian, but also you have to be a Jew. You have to follow all this. In Galatians chapter 4, if you turn over there in Galatians 4 and in verse 30, and I don't have the page number, but if you're in Romans, keep on rolling, then you get to Corinthians and then Galatians. In chapter 4 and in verse 30, here is the Apostle Paul confronting all of these false prophets. And finally, the church said, Paul, you are crazy. We have to follow the Old Testament commandments and then incorporate Jesus into and under the Old Testament commandments. Now, how did Paul get out of that? Look at in verse 30, where he said, what does the scripture say? So it's obvious to me that if anybody wants to know anything in the Bible in comparison with any statement, we have only one answer. What does the scripture say? Now, I told you at the beginning that Andrew said Messiah equals Christ equals Jesus. We know for sure Messiah. We know for sure the word Christ. But if you are not sure, if you are not sure that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christos of the New Testament and the Messiah of the Old Testament, the anointed of God, the only one that can bring you into the presence of God, not guilty, let's find out what does the scripture say. All right? That's what we're going to do. A lot of work. I'm glad I have time. The Messiah, number one, the scripture said the Messiah is not a ghost that comes and fly around. It needs to be a human being. Let's go to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. As you notice, always I refer to Genesis because Genesis has everything. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And you know this very well. This was the conversation between God and the woman after she disobeyed. Genesis 3 and verse 15. And God promised the woman that God will bring a Savior and that she will be the instrument of that Savior. Look at here. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, if you know Hebrew, in English, it's hard to find out why they don't play with these words. One is
plural, and the other is singular. The second seed is singular. You see that? And between thy seed and her seed, singular, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Messiah need to be a human being, cannot be a ghost, need to be a person that comes from the wombs of a woman. All right, the fulfillment. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, page 686. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, page 686. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so the Messiah is to be born as a human being. The prophecy was there in Genesis 3 and in verse 15. And the fulfillment was done when Jesus was born, according to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Remarkable. Now, the Messiah is to be incarnate God and nothing less. All right? Let's go to to Psalm 2, Psalm 2 in verse 7. Psalm 2 in verse 7. The Messiah need to be God himself. God need to bring this Messiah. In Psalm 2 and in verse 7 we read, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. God personally need to bring that man born of a woman. I have begotten thee. So nobody could come and say, I'm the Messiah, because who's your father? And he said the name of his father, then he doesn't qualify. See, God put a qualification, and it's Psalm 2 and verse 7. God is the one who's going to generate the life of the Messiah in the wombs of a woman. So some people, they remember the time that people would say, I'm Jesus, in New York and many other places that went around. The only question you have to ask them is, what's your father? And when he said his father's name, he said, well, you are not Jesus, because the only father Jesus have is God. According to Psalm 2, verse 7, I have begotten you. Now, how do we know that Jesus then has no father? Well, let's go to Matthew's. Chapter 1 and verse 23, page 651. Matthew's chapter 1 in verse 23. And look what the Bible says. The angel is talking to Mary. He's talking to Joseph. Said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which has been interpreted, God with us. God with us. And so therefore, Jesus is no less than God. God with us. God brought him. How do we know? Now you are in verse 23 that the Bible said Jesus is God with us. Move your eyes just a few verses up. To verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was exposed of engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had intimate relationship, she was found with a child of who? Of the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, this remarkable miracle, this tremendous miracle that happened fulfilled the scripture. The Messiah is to be incarnate God. God himself coming in and zeroing into the life of a woman and then born from a woman. That's the Messiah. Now, the Messiah also has to be born from the descendant of Abraham. Look in Genesis chapter 12. When we're talking about Jesus, Genesis is a book that reveals everything that brings about the life of Christ. In chapter 12 of Genesis, and let me read for you verse 3 and verse 7. Look at what the scripture said. And I will bless them, God talking to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all other families be blessed. Now look with me on verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed again. Now that's what the people in Israel get it wrong today. They think it's to the Israelites. No, to the seed, one seed, singular. To that seed, unto thy seed, said verse 7, will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. That's why, remember when we study Abraham, he was worried that he was 90 years old and have no child. And God said, unto thy seed, that seed, this land is going to be yours. So therefore, the Bible tells us that the Messiah need to be a descendant of Abraham. Now let's go back to Galatians again, in Galatians in chapter 3 now, please, and read a few verses there in Galatians chapter 3, like verse 8, for example. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 8 we read, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And go with me to verse 16, please, on Galatians chapter 3. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promise made. He said, not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. And remember the formula. Messiah equals Christ equals Jesus. Tremendous. The Messiah is to be a descendant of Abraham. That is important. Now, if you go to Matthew then, in chapter 1, there is that when you look for the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus, you go to Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, the Bible said, the book, verse 1, Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of the generations of Jesus, of the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so therefore, here you have the fulfillment of the scripture. Matthew, being a Hebrew, he records this. He was a CPA, Matthew, as you know, and a tax collector, which implied that he boy. Have you ever been inspected by a tax collector in America? Only once. I remember when I started seminary and I started making deductions of books and deductions of these, so I was called in. Boy, I brought all the paperwork. Boy, they look into every detail. A tax collector, he looks for a loophole. All right? And then the point of thing. So in Matthew, have the opportunity to see that Christ was not Jesus. Boy, he was the man. But God used a CPA with all his brains on the numbers and on the details. When I do the checkbook, if I miss it by $10, okay, Raquel blows me up. $10. Forget it. We have the $10. Where are the $10? I don't know. See, I write checks and I don't make notes of the checks. That's what I don't have my checkbook anymore. All right. See, Matthews was the man that God used to detail things because he was a CPA and he will detail things. Like, doctor, look, you read it. Have you ever read the two gospels side by side? And Matthew said the man was sick and Luke said he was sick on the right hand. And he was a doctor. And he tells you. Matthew, he was sick. And the other say, he has palsy, he cannot move the right hand. You can see how God used the personality. And if it's a loophole in the Bible that something is wrong, Matthew will bring it up. But Matthew said, no, he was the son of Abraham. The Messiah is a descendant of Abraham. The Messiah need to be a descendant of David the king. David the king. I want to ask you to move your Bible to 2 Samuel. You find this book at the beginning, page 182. All right? 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, there is a famous chapter, and it's chapter 7 on 2 Samuel. And we're going to read a few scriptures there in 2 Samuel. We're going to read verse 12, verse 13, and verse 16. Verse 12. Verse 13 and verse 16. We want to know if Jesus really was the son of David. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers," God is speaking to David, "I will set up thy seed," singular, "after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." It's not talking about Solomon, it's talking about Jesus, because Solomon established the kingdom, but was temporary, and was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But the kingdom of the son of David is forever. Look at verse 16. "And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." The Jews were 2,000 years without throne and without land. So the Messiah was prophesied to David. The Messiah was to be the one. The Messiah was to be the one who will establish this kingdom. See, the problem on the Jewish people was that they were looking for a Saddam Hussein. You get that picture? Somebody who rules and controls the entire world. They don't know how it's going to be, but they were waiting for some people like Gaddafi until Reagan bombed him and he was quiet. He were looking for somebody who will dominate the world. And they, the Jewish people, will control the world. You know, I'm not picking on the Jewish race because of my background, Palestinian, but I tell you this. This happened to all of us. To all of us. To all of us. Somebody who dominate the world will save the world. And God is talking about spiritual things. The Bible is about spiritual things. The Messiah is going to control everybody in the heart. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter who is the government. Doesn't matter who is in power. David, you're going to have a son. And boy, when Solomon built the temple, everybody thought that that was the end. And when the temple was destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar, what do you think? God failed? No, God was talking about a house built not with bricks. You are the bricks, actually. You and I are the bricks of the house. God will never destroy that house. Now, how do we know the Jesus feet? Well, we go back to Matthew 1 on the genealogy. And we read in verse 1, the book of the genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of David. The son of David. And if you move your eyes to verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth," talking about Blessed Mary, "she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua, for he shall save his people from their sin." That was the target of the Messiah. He will come. He is going to be the anointed, the one only who qualify that he can say, "I pay for you," and God will accept it. That is the work of the Messiah. So when somebody becomes, humanly speaking, somebody wants to be a Messiah, maybe his intentions are good. When somebody wants to forgive your sin, maybe he's a loving person, but he doesn't qualify. You need to qualify to be. the one who does the job. The Messiah is to be a descendant of David. And then the Messiah is to be a savior. Is to be a savior. Look with me in Isaiah, Isaiah 62, page 440. In the blessed book of Isaiah, in chapter 62 of Isaiah, and you will see here, page 440, verse 11. I want to read from verse 11 all the way to 63:1. All right, three verses for you. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord, that's Jehovah, hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now the people of Israel were in jail at this time, under Nebuchadnezzar. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that is speaking righteousness, mighty to save. You got the picture? The Messiah garments will be red as his blood. Like his blood. What's the fulfillment of this? The scripture that our brother read, John 1, verse 42. In John 1, verse 42, the Bible said that he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. You see, the scripture matched together at every moment what the Bible says. Now, I don't know if you remember John 4, but in John 4, 42, remember John 4? I wish you remembered chapters in the Bible about what happened in that chapter. In John 4, there was a woman at the well and have a talk with Jesus. But that woman at the well, you know, we think women are, oh, they're dumb. They don't know theology. That woman knew theology so much that she argued with Jesus about in which mountain should be the worship. And look at in verse 42, what happened. And said unto the women, Jesus said unto the women, now ye believe not because of thy saying. And the people were saying, the women believe and preach the gospel to the multitude. Then the people said to the women, and said unto the women, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is in thee the Christ. Now remember the formula, Messiah, Christ Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Cambodian, Argentinians, Italian, the Savior. There is no other. Thank God. There is no other. He's no American. He's a Jew. He's not the son of Rockefeller or the grandson of President Bush. No. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Born in a manger. His intention was not to conquer the world and find oil in Israel. His intention was to penetrate your heart and give you new life. And he never failed. This Jesus of mine, when he said that person is done. Wow, that's why I preach the gospel. It's just so beautiful. When Jesus penetrates your heart, which all our hearts are a stone. When Jesus penetrates your heart, something happened. Do you jump? Do you move? No. You said, I believe. Somebody asked me, I came to pick up the Cones girls here to see Anne's beautiful presentation in Monterrey on Friday. And we drive in and a car came in. And typically, when a woman drives and the man sits with the seat on the back, they're asking for money. I know exactly who is asking for money, who's asking for joy. I know the trick. But no, these were wonderful couples, sons of a man. Our church gave him one of the steps to a Spanish church in Prunedale. And his father said, you have to go to that church. And he was asking me questions. And he asked me a good question. He said, Pastor, if I come here, do you believe the Bible? I said, my son, why do I open the church if I don't believe the Bible? He said, well, I went 9 churches, 7 do not believe the Bible here in Mar Hill. They say the Bible has a connected form. I said, the Bible is not philosophy. What says the scripture? Every page of the Bible is beautiful. He said, will you preach Jesus? He said to me. I said, son, are you sick or something? What did I open the church for? To pass candies? See, we are guilty when we change the message. The Bible has only one message, the Messiah of the Jewish people. We are sitting on the glory of Israel. And Israel brought to us the Messiah. And the Bible said, he came unto his own received him not. John 1:11 is this. His own received him not, but as many as opened their heart, he came inside them. It's just amazing. Amazing. Amaze me. The more I read the scripture, more clear it is. Now, how all of this information relate to us today? Jesus, the Messiah, equals Christ, equals Jesus. How all of these relate to us? Well, will help us to witness. I wonder the Apostle Paul, how did he preach the gospel, Paul? What did he say when he, we just talk in Sunday school class. We have a good Sunday school class on the, I know this church has, every class was good, but I happen to be on the young couple class. And we have a great discussion about not to be too complacent with your life, and we need to preach the gospel. And now it came to me, here's how Paul did it. Let's go to Acts 17, all right? Acts 17, page 652. Now, how a Jewish person will preach the gospel. Acts 17, let me read the verse 1 to 3. Let me show you how he preached the gospel. The Bible said in Acts 17, verse 1 to 3, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jew. Now he's preaching to Jewish people. What do you say to a Jewish person? A lot of books. You go to a bookstore, and they have a lot of books. What do you say to Jewish people? Save that money. Give it to the church. Here's the answer. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, about 2 weeks, reasoned with them out of the scripture. The word reason can be translated explain, and the word out of the scripture can be translated giving evidence from the scripture. So Paul went to these people and look at verse 3, opening, explaining, and alleging, giving evidence that Christ must need have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is what? Christ. Remember? Messiah, Christ, Jesus. He explained and he gave evidence of the scripture. Now, if somebody tells me, I do not believe the Bible, then I say, I'm sorry. When you believe it, come and talk to me. So I will never believe. Don't say that. I want to pray. And each time you pray for somebody who doesn't believe the Bible, it's like having a bar of dynamite in your pocket. And you put it in the pocket of that person. And you pray tomorrow, you put another one. And one of those days, God said, I want to blow that dynamite. Boom! And the person said, I believe. That's what happened. It takes dynamites to move us. Remember what the gospel is? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. That's the word dynamos. Where we get the word dynamite. The gospel is the power of God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be down because that's some people don't believe in this and the other. No. People say, oh, at Morgan Hill, it's very hard, told me a person, to have a church because everybody is wealthy and they don't need God. And every place is hard. In Brazil, it's very poor, so they worship the moon and they throw bananas to the moon. Really, they do that. It's hard everywhere. Hard everywhere. Everywhere. There is no an easy place. You know why? Because our heart has been darkened by sin. But thank God, He has the power to penetrate. Through whom? Through the Messiah. And how? Through the Scripture. Why? I know why. Romans 10 and verse 17. You know it by memory. Romans 10 and verse 17. Look at what the Scripture said. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you share the Word of God, and you and I share the Word of God, and you have been here this morning. And you were under the sound of the Word of God. Don't take it lightly. My grandmother read, chanted the Bible to me for 2 hours. What a tough time, unless the chocolate was burning, and that was good. Not knowing my grandmother, as she chants an hour of the Bible, not knowing that she was putting an embedded desire in my heart to read that book when I grow up. Read that Bible to your children. Read that Bible to your children because you will never repent it. Read that Bible yourself because you never repent it. And if you do not believe in Jesus, get a Bible and read it. What version? A version, do you understand it? And read it and read it and read it until God and mercy reveal the power of the mighty God. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. Now my question, my $4 million question is this. I believe the Jesus, the Messiah. Do you? Heavenly Father, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus has come not to give me millions of dollars and a new car and a new house. He has come to take my awful, dark soul and change it in the beauty of Christ. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, God, that you penetrate our soul and resurrected our soul. And now those who have come to believe, we can say, now we see. Now we see. Lord, we are not privileged people. We were like anybody else without Christ. So we pray, oh Father, that as the people listen to your word and as you please to save, that many will be saved today. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Should we linger and heed not him?
His mercies, mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. If you are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner.
Thank you, Miran, and we are so glad that they, family in shock, they made it back from Korea with this tremendous typhoon. They were over there and in stress, and they are here. We are glad that the Lord had mercy. Will you stand, please, as we close in prayer? Lord, it is good to know that you call sinners to come home as Miran praise you in song. Father, we pray that this Jesus of ours will penetrate in the life of those who are not yet children of God according to the New Testament. And that the people will see they are New Testament belief. It's not just an American way of thinking. It is a Jewish way of thinking. It is Israel that brought the Messiah. They made a mistake. They want a Messiah who conquered the world physically. But you gave us a Messiah who gave us a new world and a new life. Lord, I pray that in your mercy, you will save. In Jesus I pray, amen.